You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
Welcome back to another episode of Let's Hear It. I'm your host, Ryan Trainer, and on today's episode, I have a long-lost friend of mine that I haven't seen in a minute here. So in the studio with me today is the fabulous Fabio. What's up, Fabio?
Amazing, amazing life. How the fuck are yous?
I'm good, man. I'm good. I'm really glad you did this and, you know, reaching out to you. This is... Yeah, you know, we've known each other for a long time, and I've been meaning to get, like, a good person that knows the fighting world and now the comedy world since you've been getting into that. So you kind of hit both those boxes with me, and I'm, you know, glad that you're doing this, and I'm, you know, looking to pick your brain a little bit about this. So,
nice.
Yeah, I just wanted to... Is this your first time, like, doing a podcast or anything like that?
So... I've done a couple podcasts in the past
okay,
and whatnot. Yeah. I was with Jonathan Jude. He did a podcast in Ethan Jordan. I did his twice.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
No. Oh, yeah. Ethan. I had Ethan on the show. Yeah. I was going to say, I'm like, I know that name. So, yeah that's he's a great guy. Was that the Three Ills or something like that?
It might be.
He brought it up when I talked to him, and it was like something so Ethan. I was like, yeah, you would have a show like that.
I think it was like the Ill podcast.
Yeah, yeah. He's like all sorts of ill shit or something like that. Yeah,
all types of ill shit.
That's it.
There you go.
Yeah, he's a great guy. He's funny. Yeah, so I guess it doesn't really matter where we start off, mm-hmm. but I kind of wanted to just get into the whole MMA and martial arts side of it mm-hmm. since that's how we became friends and, you know, colleagues, I would say. So when did you first, like, start getting into, like, just martial arts in general? Like,
well, I dabbled a little bit as a kid, but, you know, it's all that fucking, all that bullshit. You know what? You know,
like yeah. Taekwondo or like
yeah,
karate or something
I did
like
it,
that.
But I wasn't very good at it. And yeah. then I think I did a little bit of submission grappling when I was a kid.
Okay.
And like the sports club.
Did you ever do like wrestling in school or anything like that?
I did it 1 year. When I was a junior in high school, I got caught with 0.5 grams of shake in my jacket pocket, which a police dog found. And Mr. Pryor and Officer Wilson found that shit. And then after that, I said, all right, I'm going to go on the wrestling team. But because I got suspended, I was ineligible.
Oh, shit.
So the next year, I went on the wrestling team, and I got varsity my first year. And to be honest, I was fucking horrible. I was fucking horrible.
Hey, that's like, it's one thing I mean, there's, I don't really regret anything, but I do just wish more or less because it was free that I took wrestling in high school. You know, just knowing that I liked MMA and jiu-jitsu and, you know, all the stuff that we'd be doing later, I just think it's, you see these people coming into gyms now that have that background, and it's just such a big advantage, you know, even if whatever they end up doing.
Oh,
you know
that's fucking
I mean?
Horseshit.
Yeah.
I wish I took
And I just get so
wrestling.
Mad. I'm like, man, I fucked around so much in high school where I'm like, I could have, the one productive thing I could have just done that. And yeah. now I'm like paying all this money to try to catch up with all these young kids.
Oh my God. If I was in the skateboarding when I was younger, I should have gone back in time and smacked the shit out of myself and be like, wrestle, motherfucker.
Exactly. But, hey, you know, you live and you learn. So, but what was, like, the first, I guess, like, opportunity you had to get into, like, I guess, like, mixed martial arts? Or was it, like, jiu-jitsu or kickboxing or boxing or something like that?
It was jiu-jitsu, actually, right. Which is actually pretty funny. A year and a half, I don't think Todd or Big Don knows this,
right.
but a year and a half, or I think a year after I joined, I went with a friend named Keith Ellis.
Okay.
Keith Ellis took me to Mass Gym. And this is when they had the boxing ring downstairs.
All right, yeah.
So,
oh, yeah, I remember that. Jeez.
I went there. I didn't know. I saw Garmo at the time. I didn't know who the fuck he was. I saw everybody there. And, you know, I went there once and then I then came back. And then to be honest, this is how nutty this whole story is. So I used to sell booze up at college campuses when I was younger.
Got to make a living somehow.
Yeah. So one time this guy didn't have no money. He just gave me, you know, a couple strips of acid.
You know, that's a good deal, right?
I popped that one time. I thought I was a tough guy. This is December 2010. I took that. And then I went down a fucking rabbit hole thinking if I was so tough, I might as well try this. January 14th, 2011. I remember the exact day. Mm-hmm. I walked into Mass Gym. I think it was a Tuesday. I walked into Mass Gym. I saw Todd, saw Karen, and like Todd's like, what's your goals? Which is, my goals were completely unrealistic at the time. I'm like, I want to look like Arnold Schwarzenegger, but know how to fight.
Yeah. Todd is the like, next UFC champion in every division, you know?
Todd is like, all right, I can help you.
Yeah.
And then I went in and I just got addicted.
Yeah.
I just dropped everything else and I just dove in head first. And it was probably the best thing that could ever happen to me.
Hell yeah. Now, that's I think that's a pretty common story of anybody. Because I feel like a lot of fighters, you know, you have that instinct in you if it's what you're watching, what you grew up on. And if you're smart, you go into some place and give it a try. And then you're just like, this is awesome. Because you'll understand where you're starting at. And, you know, you find obviously other people that are better than you. And you're like, oh, I guess I'm not as big of a badass as I thought I was. You know?
You mean gang raped by someone who's 135 pounds?
Exactly. Yeah.
You just get manhandled. And I was 260 at the time when I walked in.
Yeah, you're a muscular guy. You're a big guy. Yeah. So, but it's, you know, one of those like life lessons that you learn that this is like, in a good way, you know, there's more to it than that and stuff.
Oh,
so
fuck yeah.
And yeah, it's just an awesome road to be on. So when was like your first time competing? Did you do like jiu-jitsu matches first or did you just get into MMA?
I wanted to fight so badly, and Big Don is like, get the blue belt.
Yep.
he's like, get the blue belt. Actually, it was a couple of jiu-jitsu tournaments, and I think I got first at the Buckeye Border. I have the medal at the house still.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and then I competed at the Hoosier Open. I didn't place there. And then I was supposed to do have an MMA fight in the middle of – I think 2011, but then I got mono because I didn't know how to cut weight the right way. I don't know. I attribute the mono to the cutting weight.
Hey, cutting weight sucks. I have to say I feel very fortunate. I never really had to. I was always like, I just had to stop drinking water like the day before, basically. But anybody else, like I remember seeing you going through it and some other people, and I'm like, that sucks. I'd rather get punched in the face for an hour than do that. So
I did some fucking horrific weight cuts. Mm-hmm. I used to get down to 170.
Damn, that's fucking crazy.
I was like 90 pounds.
Yeah.
Fucking lighter than I walked in at.
So just like not eating, not drinking anything, and training 24/7.
I had a bodybuilder friend of me hook me up with a diet, and I just kind of blueprint I used to cut weight.
Mm-hmm.
Or if I want to lose fat now, I kind of use the same thing.
Mm-hmm. How do you feel looking back at like, when you first started like doing like competing in any way and just training in general to like now, do you feel like you're just like, man, I did it so wrong at the beginning?
At the beginning, I just wish I did more.
Yeah. More.
Like, I did a lot, but I just want to do more.
Like more, like in what way? What do you mean?
Like, come on, Saturdays I'd like to sleep in.
Yeah, okay.
I could have gone every year.
Exactly. There's classes you could have got in there.
Yeah,
too.
Just more time. Just like places I just should have just brushed aside. Just committed a lot more to training.
Yeah, it's funny how you can get in the way of yourself, especially where it's not hard. You know, it's always like that cliche, like you just need to get to the gym. You know what I mean? But especially when you do it for so long and. You know, MASH, since that's like, you know, the schedule I know the best. I mean, there's always a time to go no matter what you're doing.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like up to you if you're, you know, you got to really be overtrained. And like, I think one of the people at the gym would be like, yeah, you should go home or like, you shouldn't come in. So I don't think it's ever gotten to that. But, you know, I do feel that way sometimes where it's like, yeah, I could have trained this day, could have trained that day. And, but, you know, it depends. You know, if you're competing, that's one thing. But if you're just trying to get the next belt, you know, you shouldn't really kill yourself.
Yeah.
For it, you know? But, hey, sometimes there's that time where you have all the free time in the world and, you know, you might as well just go, you know, roll two times a day. So,
yeah. Jiu-jitsu, I think you just keep doing.
Yeah.
Without burning yourself out.
Exactly. And I always think, too, even if you're tired as shit and, like, you know, maybe just on the fourth day of training, if you go on that day and just act, you know, just try to survive it, I mean, that's still a good workout. You know what I mean? So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I haven't been on the mats in a hot minute. Mm-hmm. I'm fucking wishing, you know.
So what was, like, like, where are you at with that? Are you still just kind of, like, keeping up, like, fitness and just
I am. A lot of it's based on work and what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Like, I just started a new schedule, so I have to adjust to that.
Exactly, yeah. I know. Life can be a bitch sometimes with that. And
it's just the timing.
Exactly.
And then, yeah, so, like, I do have a gym where I train at now. You know, I just do, like, the weightlifting. But I honestly, I'm at this gym, and I just use it for material purposes. Like,
yeah.
This is my first time in my life. Because before the MASH, I worked out at a health club.
Okay.
Now I'm at, like, a real commercial gym, like a powerhouse, whatnot.
Yeah.
And I just can't help but laugh and have fun.
Yeah.
I see some characters.
Dude,
oh,
the gym
God.
Is like a zoo for humans. You know what I mean?
I know. So, my fucking God. Bro, I have nicknames for people, and I'm just waiting. I'm just having. And I'm working out and I'm clowning at the same time.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I get a lot of writing done there.
That's good. That's good. That's, you know, even if you're, I mean, you gotta be lighthearted. And it's just funny when some people, it's just like they don't know what they're doing and they just keep doing it. Even if you try to help them, then it's like, all right, if you're gonna just keep doing this the wrong way and you're not accepting help from anybody, you deserve to get made fun of. So.
And there's also some people in there who just take themselves way too fucking seriously.
Yeah, that's even worse.
Way too seriously. But what my pet peeve is something I never, ever understand. And maybe someone someday can enlighten me on this. Why the fuck do some of these girls wear $20 worth of makeup on a day when they go to the gym? Thinking, you do that, you're going to clog your fucking pores. You're going to get acne.
Yeah.
Not only that. But how many times a week do you work out?
Yeah.
Right? You have to wash your face. How much makeup is that a year?
Yeah, that's actually the best argument for it is you're wasting the product.
Yeah.
Know? So, and that shit ain't cheap probably. So, I never got that either. And that's almost why I liked martial arts and like jiu-jitsu and kickboxing and all that sense because I'm like, I don't want to be – I just want to make sure I have deodorant on just for my partners. You know what I mean? But it's like I don't want to like, – I want to make sure I'm just like okay clean, you know what I mean? But it's like I don't want to put on anything until after I'm done working out. Then I can look like a normal human being. So, and if you're not, if it's like you're saying, like these people that wear, you know, the best designer stuff, if it's, you know, clothes and whatnot, it's like you're going, even just workout in general, you're going to get sweaty. You're going to get basically as dirty as you can be to yourself. And it's like you want to look. I don't know. I guess it's just the internet nowadays that makes people want to be like that. So,
I troll on some degree. Yeah. Like it's kind of fucked. But if a beautiful girl walks by, I just go like this. Ugh. I visibly make eye contact, the most disgusting look on my face, and I walk away. And I do one of two things. I observe to see other person's reaction.
Okay.
Because one of two things happens. Either this person will follow you around the gym.
Yeah.
Will follow you around like a lost puppy dog, or will have nothing to do with you. And it's kind of cool, you know, watching and observing human behavior.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Just throwing, I'll throw a twig out of left field just to see how someone will react.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and it's like you said, people just take things so seriously, and especially if you're, you know, your face is in your phone all day, like, they deserve to be fucked with. So I think you're doing the world a good service by doing that. Because I know we fought, well, it's probably like 2 years ago, we fought on a card, but I think we fought on another card prior.
We did. I think it was a TXE card.
Yeah, yeah. And I never really talked to anybody about it since and basically when we've been competing and training and stuff, it's all been like basically all work and no play. But didn't you ever think, because you went pro, right? You had your pro card and all that stuff. So I was always amateur, but I always felt, especially like learning about the UFC and like seeing like fighters at like the highest caliber and stuff, and even professional, going through like amateur fights and stuff, wasn't it just like the Wild West? I think they took themselves too seriously in that.
Sometimes. One thing I remember, I've gotten ready for more fights than I've actually fought.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I remember one time I had 4 opponent changes within 24 hours.
Exactly. It's like, what the fuck? How do you get ready for that?
And we used to fight when it was amateur, when there was no athletic commission.
Okay, that's even crazier.
Yeah, so I didn't, like the first time I fought, I didn't go through any tests or anything.
I just
showed up.
And, like, that's what's funny. My first fight, I've done, like, 6 fights, mm-hmm. and my first fight, I didn't have to do that. It was just like, it was at Fight Club and like, they just were like, do you want to do it? I'm like, yeah. It was like so easy. I mean, not easy, the fight, I'm just easy to do, but it just makes me wonder. And I think about it with these people that want to make this a career and going in. It's, I guess, part of the sport, but since it's such a just not, it's always looked at differently compared to like football, basketball, and all this stuff that. Man, I bet people got away with so much shit rising through the ranks and stuff.
Yeah,
so.
I would not be surprised if half the people you or I fought were pissing hot.
Oh, I could only imagine. Or on something in the alley. You
They're
know
probably
what I mean?
Taking. So. I'm pretty sure I fought a couple guys that were coked out.
Yeah, I
know
could
for
only
a
imagine.
Fact I fought a couple of guys that were juiced out. I'm sorry, if you had a vein going from your forehead all the way down to your chest.
Yeah, it's like, how do you get that right before a fight, you know?
But can you blame him?
Yeah, but I've never done any of that, but I thought about it in the sense of, like, no one's going to say anything, if I wanted to take that road, who cares? No one would have done anything. And if I would have gone out there and been an animal, like, and won, I mean, hell yeah, I would have got praised for that,
You would have gotten praised and promoted the fuckload.
Exactly. And that's probably would have been a black belt. So.
And guess what? It'd be no one would have said nothing. They're like, hey, man, trainer's coming. Man,
yeah, you were crazy that night. Usually you're pretty nerdy and cool, but I don't know what was. You're foaming at the mouth and, you know.
Fucking hell, how'd you gain 35 pounds
exactly.
6 weight?
Yeah, exactly. In one night? Yeah, but I always wanted to talk about, like, with somebody that's been on the, you know, other side of it. And it's just weird when you're in those, locker rooms or just areas where you're getting ready. And it's just weird.
I've seen some weird shit back there.
Yeah. And, I just think it's funny because, you know, like I listen to Joe Rogan a lot. I don't know if you do. And, you know, you always hear about, they're talking about UFC. So this is more obviously professional, but, you know, they're always like, oh, people juicing, people this. And the amount of people that get away with that at a UFC level, you know, isn't that crazy. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh my God, I bet all these, you know, and I think about that because, you know, I'm not fighting anymore. And I just think about all the times I'm like, that guy could have already been on something or no one would have known. No one would have called it. And it's just crazy. We're going in there to beat the shit out of each other. And luckily, I've never really had any beef with anyone. Everyone I fought has been really cool. Mm-hmm. But still, you know, during that time of the matches, they could have been fucking psycho. So you have, like, kind of seen that maybe
I've seen it. I've seen dudes do street drugs and back.
Yeah, exactly.
What was it? This one card. It was at the Suburban Showplace. I don't want to out the promotion.
Yeah, yeah. Let's keep the names to a minimum. So
I saw this one dude. He was doing a title fight, and he just did a white line. like 2 iPhones long of just white powder. And then he
like,
just
that's
did
not
a
GNC shit, you know.
Maybe you're snorting that creatine.
Yeah, hey, whatever Jones gets your creatine. Rocks off. So
and he just fucking he just yelled. And I was just like, oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Guess and that's then, how you're going to do it tonight.
And I remember this was the same card. He actually, one of our mutual friends, I don't want to say his name, but he had a whole bunch of his people there.
Okay.
He
right.
had a whole.
I think I know who you're talking
yeah,
about.
Yeah. He like filled up the arena. He had filled up the arena. And I saw 4 or 5 guys in the crowd with pieces just sitting there.
Oh, geez.
And they were
yeah.
just decked. I'm talking not like your normal Glock. I'm sorry. I'm like this.
Yeah,
like
this is just in case, you know, for my safety.
Yeah,
you know?
No. This looked like a bedazzled handle of a 9/11, like a 1911.
That's fucking crazy.
I was just like, I just saw the fucking handle out of the guy's suit jacket, and I was just like, maybe. I told the promoter. The promoter looks at me and is like, yeah, motherfucker, they probably have CPL. I'm just like, all right.
Yeah, but it's like, why do you need that here?
Well,
people are crazy, I guess. So.
Well, I got nothing against someone's blown a farm, but here's the thing: is he lost that night?
Okay.
The guy who brought everybody.
Yeah,
He lost a decision, and I was just thinking, I'm like, oh no,
yeah.
Now you got his friends in the crowd
because they don't believe the decision. You know, that's the thing. Like fans, even if it's it's worse when it's like your family mm-hmm. because usually they don't understand how fighting works, so they're like, oh, my boy lost, so you know, fuck that. Even if he got his ass beat and it was a easy decision, you know, they'll always back up their, you know, their side, which, you know, that's cool. But yeah, I remember one time, gosh, I forgot what it was, whatever fight league it was, but when we did security, and I know you
yes,
I know you obviously had security background and you obviously are a more intimidating person.
I don't think so.
But you have a more better stature than me. And I was like, why the fuck did I sign up for this? And especially you talking about that, like, you know, with people having like pieces on them and just, you know, fans being crazy. And it's like, I think I asked like two people once to move where they weren't sitting, and it was just pathetic.
They just looked at you.
They're like, uh-uh. And I'm like, okay. And I went and sat back and just watched the fights, and I'm like, yeah, this isn't going so well. But yeah, those, I love going to see fights. Do you ever, you've seen like UFC fights, right?
I saw the one in Detroit live. Okay. I like going to Bellator events personally better.
That'd be cool. Yeah.
When they came to Windsor, I had so much more fun at a Bellator event than I did a UFC event.
Is it just more because they're a little bit smaller, not as crazy?
What I think it is, one, there's no USADA.
Okay, there you go. That's a good, as we're talking about with getting away with shit.
Two, it's something different mm-hmm. than the UFC, and I feel like these guys fight harder.
Yeah.
Because they're not there.
They have more to, you know, they got to prove themselves a little bit more. So that UFC thing, you know, they are the top of the food chain, but there is this, yeah, you know, it's just promoted like out of everything. Yeah. So it's, you know, they're going to pick their favorites, you know, you got to be a big draw. So it's like, yeah, the Bellator thing, I could see that being more of like these guys want to build the name up and their name too. So, you know, I could understand that.
Well, last time I went to was during the Bjorn Rebny era. I haven't been there in the Scott Coker era, but that even back then they had good shows. Mm-hmm. But the stuff that Scott Coker's putting out now, I'm loving it.
Okay.
I'm eating it up. Fedor versus Ryan Bader. Yeah, give it to me on a fucking platter. I love that heavyweight tournament.
Yeah.
That was such an amazing, beautiful concept.
That Fedor fight's like next week, or isn't it?
I think so. I'm fucking stoked.
Yeah.
But it's on like DAZN. I know they're doing a lot of stuff in Italy, and I have a lot of cousins overseas. You know, they have those kickboxing is very popular, and MMA is starting to rise up. And since been promoting a lot of comedy,
yeah,
I've been getting a lot of promotions from Italy, just fucking following me and contacting me out of the blue for stuff. And I'm like, yo, man, if you want me to fight, I talked to a couple people, and I got to lose like another 60 pounds.
Yeah, you know how to get back into the swing of things for sure. So that, do you ever feel like you get that itch? You know where?
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, yes. I want to fight one last time and put my all into it.
Yeah.
I want to put my all into it.
But then we'll talk a couple years later. Like, I want to do one more fight. But, yeah, that's like the loop that fighters get into, especially. It is for how stressful it is and how crazy it is, and some people don't get it. It's so fucking fun.
I know.
And that's like, I love jiu-jitsu. I never really felt that when I did jiu-jitsu competitions. Mm-mm. I liked them and they're a really good experience, but man, it's like, if I'm going to compete, I'm going to just do MMA. You know what I mean? So, you know, obviously I never even got to pro or anything, but it just, man, it's just one of those things I wanted to like put under my belt. You know what I mean? It's like, I've never been one to like look for a fight, but if I'm going to, I'm going to do it inside a cage. So,
yeah.
You know,
you ever go out and like, and then some dude's trying to be a tough guy and you just want to giggle?
Yeah, like, exactly.
You just want to giggle. Just be like, oh, you're so cute.
Yeah. Oh, I have plenty of friends like that. And I'm just like, just shut the fuck up.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I have some friends that will come up to me in bars and be like, yo, you want to start? I'm like, yo, I don't want to do shit.
Yeah, exactly.
Bro, you are cock blocking me.
Yeah, exactly. There's other battles besides this one. And I'm going to choose those battles.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, that's funny. Funny that you say that, because that's almost why I don't like watching fights, because it gets me into that mode of like, oh, I'm going to compete now. I'm going to compete now. And it's, you know, not saying I'm old or anything, but it is just the amount, especially with like some as like I see now as like getting older, if you're not going to put it all in and not do it the right way, it's like kind of disrespecting the sport.
It is.
And like, I think I felt that with one of my last fights where I just was training hard, but I was doing some things that, you know, just trying to live both lives of like not training and training, which you can't do.
No, yeah. No, you can't.
And it's like, it's just one of those things you got to kind of, you're just going to hurt yourself later. Yeah. So, and I was like, yeah, if I'm not going to, you know, give this 100% respect, I should just be, you know, going for the next belt and just, you know, doing it because I like it. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah. Do you know anybody that's been like fighting or anything? Like, do you got any like friends that are doing any like matches?
Like I still talk to a couple of people yeah. from MASH, you know, they, you know, they're following and they're liking my comedy and whatnot.
Sweet.
Mike Aldo, he's one of the newer guys. When I had my last fight, he was getting ready for his first, yeah, he's doing pretty good.
Okay.
And then, you know, like the new crop coming up. And then I got a lot of friends at Victorious MMA who are fighting and whatnot.
Nice. That's always yeah. cool. I do like seeing the new, like you said, the new crop of people coming up.
And it's so, and
it's weird.
And are we like, I'm trying to think, did Fisher feel that way when we walked in? It's the new crop coming up. And
I
then
could think so.
Now,
yeah.
are we like, four, are we like two or three generations from the generation now? Yeah. Is it kind of like high school?
in a way. I mean, you have to look at it that way too, because I mean, I remember, you know, MMA class being so much different when we would have a packed house with like Big Don, you know, Fisher and all that stuff. And this is when, I mean, I wouldn't say they're prime, but you know,
I think it was near the end of the prime.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what I was starting to think, because we had killers in that room.
I was getting my ass beat. I don't remember getting my ass beat more than that time. And like, I was like barely that good anyways. Mm. And it's like, it's just so different thinking about then, you know? So,
bro, we had Tony Hervey in that room at one mm-hmm. point. We had Jason Davis, Fisher, Pokey Hoff.
Pokey, yeah. He's doing a lot too. I see Ryan. Yeah. I follow him. So
Pokey's doing amazing.
Yeah,
Pokey's doing amazing. I think Pokey's one of the most dangerous people in Michigan.
Yeah, you guys yeah. trained a lot together too.
We still do every so often. Not so much as lately, but like Pokey, he kind of took me under his wing. You know, yeah. it's kind of like his small little stepbrother. He kicked the shit out of every yeah. so often.
Well, I always remember too. There were so much people basically like kind of in my weight class, or at least like, you know, a few pounds different, and like the heavier weight guys like didn't really have many people to work mm-hmm. with. And it's like, I remember anytime I would work with Pokey, he would just stiff arm me and I just fly across.
It's not fair.
It didn't matter what I knew. You know, I could have 10 years on him. It would have made nothing of a difference. So
his body's so deceiving. He looks like a guy that doesn't work out.
Not
but
at
God
all. Yeah.
Damn, he fucks you up.
Yeah. He knows all the skill and he has the athleticism to prove it too. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, I always remember that too, when we would be broken off and you know, doing wall work and stuff. You know, my group would have like a line down the mat, and like your group would just be four guys,
four, but five.
I'd rather go with the 10 people I'm with than one of you, you know. So it's just, but that's, you know, the weight difference. You know, the heavier weights are obviously you know, a little harder to come by and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
So
because all the heavier guys are athletic, going to football.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
or they're tall enough they go to basketball, right?
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah, because there's more money in that. You know, you got to be really
probably the smarter thing. Yeah. You know, for how I don't want to say it, but I would say MMA is more fun. So
it is. It's like what's the best way to describe it? I think MMA is like playing. When you first start off, it's like playing three-dimensional chess without all the pieces.
It's a good way to put it. Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's that like jiu-jitsu thing too. There's, you know, it's like there's a counter to the counter to the counter mm-hmm. to the counter, and it never ends, you know. Same with MMA. It's like you're just incorporating it all together just with punching and kicking too. So,
oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I love MMA and like martial arts in general. And it is cool, I guess. You know, because I would say if we're talking about the high school thing, we are kind of in the same class. I would say you might be a year above me or so, but
I think we start at the same time. I consider like us start at the same time. I remember, wow, I've known you for eight years now. Like it's 7 years, 8 years.
It's so weird having like, because you know, there's like work friends, you know, your friends you grew up with, mm-hmm. and I'm like, I have like martial art friends, and it's like, it's kind of weird because, you know, like Tommy and all these people and stuff, and you know, you too, mm-hmm. Fabio. It's like, it's you, we've gone through so much, and we like, you know, it's like, it's not like we hang out every weekend or anything like that, but I'm like, we've like blood, sweat, and like all this shit, like stuff like people I've known since like kindergarten haven't seen, you know what I mean? And it's like, a lot of people don't understand that. So I always think it's really cool to have that kind of bond with somebody.
I think we've punched each other more in the face than we've actually talked.
Yeah, exactly. Very true. And like willingly, you know, we've willingly hurt each other more than probably any of my ex-girlfriends, I would say. So.
How many times have we punched each other in the face and be like, oh shit, I hit too hard?
Yeah. I have, this is one thing I remember. Man, there's just so many stories, but this is kind of back in those days when we were training with, you know, all the guys that were like Fisher and all those guys, like, you know, where it'd be like 30 minutes of sparring, 30 minutes of ground game. And that was like at that, those were the fucking days, man, where it just was, I remember just getting off at MASH and just being so fucking tired, you know?
That group of room, I really think is what set a base for our skill level.
That's a good point.
And it kind of all broke off at a weird time.
Yeah.
And
it's
then,
like one day there's like five people in class. I'm like,
Well, it was, and then that whole split off happened.
Yeah.
And then it's kind of like, I know that the MASH and Team Kaiki thing, it was kind of weird. I knew nothing about it. I was just like,
yeah,
what
I
the
stayed
fuck?
Out of so many of the politics. And I still do, which is, I think, a smart thing.
Yeah.
It's just so annoying. I'm like, I don't know.
I lose track.
Exactly. I'm like,
I lose track.
I'm still trying to learn how to do a good arm bar. So it's like, I'll just focus on that. But we were sparring once. And again, like, when you sparred with someone like that, it was in different weight class, and it was just always. It's just different, you know?
Yeah.
And I remember you kicked me once, and when I learned about a bone bruise. It wasn't like your fault or anything, and I don't even think you were giving it your all, but it's just the difference between weight classes, and you just threw just a leg kick. And, you know, it's like it – I was like, yeah, that happens. You know, it's – you know, I've been kicked, you know, all through class, and then you kicked me. And I'm like, all right. And then, like, the next day it was, like, sore, and I'm like – this is weird. And I was talking to someone about it, and I was like, yeah, Fabio just kicked me. And I'm like, I'm still feeling it. And it's like, it didn't like bruise. Like, I didn't like see anything. And he's like, I forgot who told me, but they're like, yeah, I think that's like a bone bruise. Like, I didn't have to go to like a hospital or anything, so don't worry about it. But I was like, never wanted to feel that again. And I'm so glad I haven't. So
leg kicks from our bread and butter.
Yeah, man.
I would win so many fights by setting up that leg.
Your legs
kick.
Are like tree trunks. So
I got a joke where it's just like, I'm the only white guy I know with the ghetto booty. My ass is so big, I sit down, I'm 3 feet fucking taller.
Hey, that's where all your power comes from in fighting. So you gotta have that. So,
bro, man, I was at a strip club a couple days ago. I walked. Hold on. I was walking through, a stripper looked at me, looked at my ass, and asked me who did my work.
Oh my god,
I'm looking at myself. I'm like, bro, my self-esteem get any fucking lower. Holy shit. I got humbled real quickly.
That's hilarious. Only at a strip club that would probably happen, right?
Oh, bro. It kind of fucked with me.
Well, talking about, because I've said it off mic and all that, you're a very funny guy, Fabio. And so you've been getting into comedy recently, you know, and this is another thing I wanted to bring up, since we could talk about fight in war stories till for hours, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm a big fan of comedy, you know, like I mentioned, I like Joe Rogan and a lot of the, you know, comedians out there. So it's interesting seeing people take that avenue, because I think that's more terrifying than stepping into the ring with anybody.
I agree.
Why the fuck are you doing that?
I started because I just wanted to do it. I was at a weird place at the time. The relationship I was in was like, now hindsight, was starting to go downhill. I didn't realize at the time. So I went up on stage and I got a joke.
It's like an open mic?
Yeah, I went up an open mic at Laugh Tracks. I went up there and I bombed horribly. I ate 1,000 dicks up on stage. And when I got up on stage, it was the same feeling I had when I fought.
Like losing a match or something
No. Just going up on stage. You know that feel when you're backstage, you know, that can
feel. Yeah, like getting ready to go up there.
Yeah, that's the feeling you get.
Okay. And did you think it was more or less or just the same?
It was around, not, less, but also around the same lines. And I kind of started doing comedy as a way to help curb that competitive feeling.
Yeah.
Because if not, I would just be still fighting, didn't care, exactly, lose or draw. It would just consume me. So I'm like, all right, maybe this, I can do this every week and I won't get, I don't fucking get my head not
you don't
loose.
Get physically hurt. Yeah.
So, and I realized after, they see me do comedy, it's a lot of writing.
Mm-hmm.
And I started writing all the stories I had down. I'm like, wow, I've had a really fucking crazy life.
I think, again, if you taking these risks and stuff in life, you got to have some type of, risk factor of life. You know how to live life, it seems, and that's a good thing. And you writing stuff down and kind of, looking back on it, you're only going to be like, yeah, this is fucking crazy.
Yeah. Well, now that I'm doing comedy more, I will walk into a situation and be like, okay, how can I make this a great story? <It's awesome. laughs> like if I'm overseas, I'm like, okay, how do I make this a good story? If I'm on a date, I'd be like, okay, oh my God, I can make this. How can I make this new great story?
Yeah. So what is that like your process? Is your process like observing people, like how people live their lives?
Sometimes I'll write something down and then I'll build something around it. Like I'll build a premise, like a funny premise.
Okay.
Or I'll have like a punchline and I'll build a story around that. Or life experiences that I can turn into comedy.
Yeah.
One thing I've learned is tragedy makes for the best comedy in the world.
Yeah.
But, I've learned a lot from hearing other comedians and their cadences and just like, okay, I'm like, okay, how can I adapt that for myself? Like the tone of talking, the movements, the stage presence is something that I'm really observant of.
I think a lot of people overlook that too. And I think that's like the type of people that are like, oh, anyone can do that. Or like that guy that's funny at a party, might be like, oh, I make everybody laugh. It's like, nah, that's a different kind of, comedy. Like you can be the funny guy, but to go up in front of people, you have to capture that attention. And there's, and it's different for everybody, like pacing and there is a science to it almost, it's crazy. So,
dude, I still bomb. Like I've done a couple showcases and I've done surprisingly well.
That's good.
But I see it in terms of like fighting. I'm like, fuck, I've only been doing this for like 2 years. I don't know.
Okay.
I assume to get okay, that's 5 and good, that's 10. So I know I have a long road ahead of me.
Yeah. It's like a jiu-jitsu black belt. You know what I mean? And I think a lot of people that get into fighting, understand doing other things, they kind of take it just like fighting. You got to put in your time, you got to start as a white belt, you got to be training in the sense. And just from even comedians I've always listened to and all that, I mean, even good ones, it takes a long time. So
yeah, well, you have to find your voice and whatnot.
Yeah, exactly.
And I still technically haven't found mine. A lot of my material is based off like personal experience, doing a lot of crazy stuff. And then, it's really funny because when you write down a memory and then let it sit there, a couple weeks goes by and you go back and revisit it, didn't realize you write that down, you remember something else you forgot about it.
Yeah.
Which is kind of cool. And half the reason why I got into comedy is because I'm dyslexic like a motherfucker. So it was a
You're
way.
You're not Stephen King?
It was a way to help me write.
Yeah.
Because I've written more now than I've ever had in high school or college.
Mm-hmm. This kind of going back to fighting and stuff, you told me something that kind of freaked me out once, and you brought it out of nowhere, and
I used to say some vile shit to people.
But this will probably ring a bell, because we were sitting in the back end ready for one of our fights, and I don't know, we were just sitting there, and we're all like, nervous and shit, and you were just like, I write death notes to myself before every fight.
Yeah.
Yeah, you remember that. Yeah.
I used to do that. Every time I fought, I would write a death note. I would be like, yo, man. I would write it down, be like, if anything happened to me, yada, yada, yada. And after that, I would burn it.
Exactly. That's what you said. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I was just like, okay, this is not helping me calm down.
I have a question to ask you. So when you fought, were you like, for me anyway, I was scared up until that door locked and then I was calm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Were you scared the whole time? Because I feel like everyone has a little bit of nerves, whether it be fear, nerves, something along those lines.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it all stopped once that door locked.
I was scared the whole time. Yeah, it's weird because I almost looked at it. I kind of like got out of my body a little bit. That was like the only way I could go through with it. It's mm-hmm. just like, you know, it was like a roller coaster. It's like, you know, you'd get there and I'd feel fine. And then you're like getting ready. You're like just chilling out, trying to sleep or just watch something. And then like, you know, you're working out, like getting ready to get up there, getting warmed up. And then like getting out there with the music and people yelling at you and screaming and then getting in there, seeing like all that was just, it just is like a blur to me, you know? And that's where it's like, I don't know. Yeah. Like, I mean, I always felt nervous, but I just kind of put it to the side, you know, you just really? Got to ignore it. Like, and it's like you train all the time and you fight and like you spar and you do all this. And whenever I fought, it was just like my arms and stuff were moving and I'm doing these things, but it's like, I'm looking at myself like next to me, you know what I mean? So that's how the only way I like would describe it, but it was like that scary. I'm like, I'm having like a drug trip, you know? So, I remember one thing too where, you know, you're at the cage and I get why people tell you how to do things in your corner. Cause if you obviously are in the moment, mm-hmm. you'll listen.
Yeah.
And that was like, I finished somebody with a triangle and I'm like,
I remember that.
Yeah. I was on the ground and I'm going into it and like Todd and stuff are basically telling me through it. And I was actually really calm during that. Like, I'm looking to the side and like they're like, move your foot here, move here. And I'm just like slowly doing it and just like locked it in. And like it went so slow, but so right. I'm like, how the fuck did that happen? It was so weird. So, but yeah, I was always nervous for all that. But
I hated the waiting.
Yeah, the waiting's the worst.
The waiting's worse. And I know like the last couple times I fought, I would be near the end of the card, and I was just like,
yeah, I felt terrible for you in that sense. That's almost why I never wanted to do good, because I always wanted to be in the 1-3. Like, let me just be that guy that starts off the show. If I got to do a title fight or something, mm-hmm. I'm like, I have to wait till like midnight to fight. I would go fucking crazy.
Oh my God. I remember, you know, I've only had two fights go to decision,
mm-hmm.
and those are the two fights.
Yeah, it sucks.
I hate going to decision.
It's never good.
Yeah, no, I always lose a decision.
I'd rather get knocked out myself. You know what I mean? So, going to decision it's just gross. You're like,
well, I don't blame people who try to finish whatnot, but it's just like. For me, anyway, whenever a fight went to the judges, I was just like, I'm getting fucked.
Yep. Yeah. I've never won decisions, so.
I'm getting fucked hard. That's just going to happen.
Yeah. It's like we have that face or something, you know? Yeah. It's like, come on, really?
This guy does not like me. I am screwed.
I always thought it's because I didn't have enough tattoos. I think I only have one tattoo, so mm-hmm. I could never compete with anybody in that. So. But I think that would be like with comedy too, especially if you get better. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know how it works with comedy. Because like when you start off, you probably go up late, right?
Yeah, it's late, and then now the Michigan comedy scene is really growing
mm-hmm.
compared to where I started. Now, like one of the open mics I go to on Fridays is now packed, and you have to sign up like beforehand, but.
So is that good? Like, I actually want to bring that up.
Well, I would rather get my stuff done and over with because, you know, you have to record.
For sure. Yeah.
You record your whole set and then you have to listen to it afterwards and imagine. I assume you edit the podcast or you don't? You just record
We do. Yeah. Okay. But I mean, this is basically what it's going to be. There's no much editing
but
involved.
But do you listen? I've been listening to my voice for hours on end. I hate the sound of my voice.
It's not fun.
Ah!
Yeah, but that's what it is, you know?
Yeah. So. Yeah. It's funny, you know, since doing all this comedy stuff, I'm getting a lot of acting work coming my way.
Yeah, okay, you were talking about that. Yeah. That's interesting. So is this like commercial or like small movies?
It's literally shit that falls right into my lap.
Hell yeah.
I don't audition for shit. It's usually people who find me, see me, and they say, come here, and I do it, and then I get paid.
That's fucking awesome. That's like what people are doing for their whole life. You know, it's like, go talk to someone in LA, though, like a full time actor making nothing, you know? So,
yeah, it's, but it's, I remember one scene that really fucked with me. It was my friend gave it to me. He's like, okay, we need a muscular guy, you know? I'm like, all right, cool.
Be a meathead.
Well, I'm like, cool. I didn't think this is like early summer, really, this past summer. Jonathan Jude, guy used to train with us, and he's a comic. He's like, all right, go. He's like, go to this edge this time. And I contact the girl. She's like, okay, I want you to get new underwear with no logo on it. I'm like, all right, cool. All of a sudden, I go there. I go to this house in Wild Lake. I got a big Myers bag. I'm like, yeah, I got another pair of underwear if you want me to change out. So the whole scene is I'm in my underwear, dry humping this. Yeah, she's technically a cougar, right? I'm just dry humping on the desk, and then her other lady, who I think is her girlfriend, comes out, slaps me in the back, and go away. That's literally what it was, and I got paid for it.
So this was a movie or a porno? Or...
You know what? You're the eighth person to say it was a fucking porno. I'm like, literally, it might as well have been fucking softcore at that point.
Yeah, exactly.
But no, this was like a legitimate movie. And I don't want to say this person's name. Hopefully they're not listening.
Probably not. I'll just say that.
She makes a bunch of featured films. And I'm like, I never saw any of her stuff before.
Okay. All right.
And then I saw myself, and this was a movie premiere at the Holiday Inn, the Northwestern Highway. That got conference center smaller than this room.
Ooh.
A projector up, but see, this is the funny part. The projector, like the head, it was Microsoft video, but it wasn't full screen.
What?
It wasn't full screen. It was just sitting there. And I brought my boy with.
Couldn't YouTube that shit? Just figure out how to do it. Come on.
And I brought my friend with, and I felt so bad.
Yeah, that might be a little embarrassing.
Oh, I didn't think about this. You know, no one, I want to sit forward. It's literally looked like, so my boy walked in. He's also a comic as well. He's like, hey, this is an AA meeting.
Yeah.
My name's so-and-so. I do heroin on the side. Because she walked in, she's like, there's juice and whatnot. So she would charge. If you weren't in the film, she would charge like X amount of dollars. I say X because it wasn't fucking consistent.
Yeah.
Like, it actually wasn't consistent. Like, she charged my friend 12. She charged this other person 10.
It's like, what?
This other person.
The other person PayPal?
This other person 15. And then beforehand, this was a 15-minute feature, but we were there for an hour and a half.
For 15 minutes.
She starts going on and on, and I'm starting to realize, oh.
You get that light.
I don't realize this lady, she might suffer some mental disorder. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm sitting there, and I'm just like, what the fuck? Dude? So all of a sudden, my boy's a comic, so, and then he starts trolling. So he's like, hey, what kind of cameras do you use? You know, there's Z whatever.
Yeah,
you know, she's naming off fucking. She's like, oh, really? She's like, you have cameras too? I'm like, yeah. She's like, you made it in movies? He's like, yeah. I have three up on fucking Pornhub. Pancake Ass 1, 2, and 3. Everyone in the room is fucking laughing, awkward. No, or... no. The awkward. I'm the only one laughing to the point where I'm crying.
Yeah, that must be kind of weird.
Everyone was so horrified, and I loved it.
Yeah.
It was so raunchy.
I could only imagine that all those people there that might be supporting that lady and be like, fuck, if I laugh right now, they're going to hate me for the rest of my life.
So. I can show you off. I have a little bit on my phone, and then when my scene came up, I was just dry humping.
That's me. That's me.
So this is me. All of a sudden, I look down. My boy's going like this. There's my boy. Look at him doing work. And I was just like, shut up. So then as soon as it was over, I'm like, yo, let's get out. We got in the car. I'm like, yo, man, I am so sorry. But like, bro, you wasted fucking an hour and a half of my life. I want that shit back.
Yeah. But hey, he got material out of it, so I think that's good.
Oh, my God. One of the friends I work with, big shout out to Brad Carcho. Follow him on Instagram. But like, he's been one of the guys. He's a well-established comic. Like, he tours Canada, whatnot.
Sweet.
Yeah. Yeah, he performs in Chicago and whatnot, so like I've been working with him and whatnot, you know, just kind of collabing whatnot.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's cool. Oh, so yeah. The community for like comedians is pretty good around here, then, right?
It seems like I have a couple of good comedian friends, but to be honest, it's not as I've noticed it's not as camaraderie as a jiu-jitsu community.
Yeah. Well, you're beating each other up and choking each other.
Yeah. So it's not as close.
It's probably a lot different. Yeah.
I've met some really cool people, and I've met some people who just don't like you just by the way you look.
That's too bad. Yeah. Well, I think there's always going to be that with whatever you're pursuing.
Yeah.
So.
And I was just kind of like, hey, man, we're all doing the same thing. But yeah. But then it's just like maybe they're coming from a more competitive standpoint than me.
Yeah, I think that's probably it. So, you know, remember Byron? Do you follow him?
I fucking love Byron. Yeah. I love that crazy motherfucker.
I was
going
to say, back when he used to train and stuff, I just saw on, social media and stuff, he's been getting into comedy and all that. I think he does out in New York.
Yeah, he lives. I went out to New York this summer. I hanged out with him.
That's cool.
Me,
hell
Byron,
yeah.
And my friend Orgy Georgie.
Nice. That sounds like a fun group of people for sure.
It was a lot of fun. I hanged out with him on the East Village, and then I was really mad because New York didn't feel as dangerous. I went to New York in 2008, and then went back 10 years later. I'm like, why do I feel safe here?
Like it, does, the 10 it doesn't. 10 years different.
Yeah, dude, it changed.
Yeah, I went there a year or so ago, but I mean, I loved it. I had a lot of fun.
Oh, me too.
So, but it's like the comedy scene there is probably. I mean, I know it's huge and all that, so I could only imagine how much he's probably working.
Byron told me he got booed off stage for being the epitome of toxic masculinity.
What? He'd be like the last person I would think that would get
But compared to the comedy scene over there, because one thing I've noticed, people in big cities are relatively shorter. Relatively shorter than
I wonder why that is.
And this is just from my observation. I also I only hanged out really two places over there where my cousin was hanging out, and I went to one little part of Brooklyn.
Okay.
And it's like the look is like a 90s fashion. And the ass is gone in New York. I don't see any asses anymore. It's like pancake. It's like, oh, what's the best way to describe it? 90s mom ass.
All right.
So all right.
Their jeans start at their belly button. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Apparently, when the fashion trends, they start in New York, and then 2 or 3 years later,
they'd be way more knowledgeable in that sense, you know, like have better fashion and all that. But that's too bad. That's sad.
No, man. This New York is one beautiful place.
Yeah. Hey, there's a lot to do there, you know, and you can meet like. I mean, there's so many cool comedians and celebrities you can run into.
Just to be single in New York. I used to have this app on my phone called Happening.
Happening.
I don't know much about it now.
Dating apps are so stupid.
It's app apparently when they cross paths with you, and then you can decide if you like the person you match. So I'm like, I head out in New York, and this shit was blowing.
Oh, yeah. It's probably like Pokemon up. Go.
I didn't realize something out there. It's just so much easier in New York just to do whatever.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I mean, the socials thing there is probably just so much crazier, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Because we get, you know, it's like we have Royal Oak here and like our downtowns and all that are nothing compared to something like that's 24/7 no matter when it's snowing or it's nice out. So.
I've noticed a lot easier to randomly go up to a girl in New York and talk than it is in Michigan.
I would assume it is
so much easier because nowadays if you look at the whole dating landscape,
okay,
very few people I know my interactions or I'm probably awkward as fuck one or two, but you go up to approach someone one-on-one, it's like a standoffish type thing.
Yeah, exactly.
But like, I'm like, all right, should I be Instagramming live this whole thing? Then will you talk to me?
Yeah.
So it's really crazy to see how the dynamics have been changing and where is it going to be in another 5-10 years?
Everyone's just going to be fucking on VR.
Just a fleshlight attached to your dick with some probes on the fleshlight. So it just pulses. Oh, and then there's a tube where the lube goes. It's like literally a whole apparatus that would take up like a whole computer room in the 80s.
And you'll be like doing this person you're dating, but you'll be like drinking coffee in VR. It's like, are you fucking right now? We're supposed to be, you know, drinking coffee right now and talking. It's like, oh, sorry. But we could only imagine. Oh, that's good. But we can only imagine what it could be like in the future, which is kind of scary. So
I don't see it as scary. I see it as something very interesting.
Yeah, yes. That's a better word for it. Yeah. So. scary doesn't mean it's a bad thing. Yeah. It's just like, whoa, that's, you know, people go to scary movies to have fun, right?
Yeah. And you know, one thing that really fucking drives me crazy with the dating apps and whatnot is, like, there's a secret language to it.
Yeah.
Like, have you noticed, like, everyone want to put some of those no hookups, no fuckboys. It takes about 2 dates to get in their pants.
Yeah. That's usually, like, the code word, like, she's down, you know?
Yeah, yeah, she's down. And I don't know if the opposite sex realizes this.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I don't think so. And I'm like, yo, you do that, you're telling a red flag. It's for me to everybody else that you've done this a lot.
Yeah, exactly.
A lot. And it's just like, yo. Or like, oh my God, my personal favorite is using, when I used to use those apps, the fucking Plenty of Fish app.
Oh yeah, Plenty of Fish.
Bro.
POF.
Plenty of Fish is more like bottom of the barrel.
Yeah.
I've only gone on 2 dates on Plenty of Fish, and they turn out to be complete.
Trouts.
Batshit psychos. batshit psychos.
Yeah.
And I don't know why, but every time I go to that Dave & Buster's in Livonia, I always get into a crazy argument with the crazy bitch. Last time I was there, it was with Kyle, and the girl she was with just went crazy all of a sudden.
Jeez.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that sounds like fun. Well, those are the fights I don't want to be in. So.
Well, I can't help but laugh at it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'm just like, all right. I'm gonna because one thing I've learned from comedy and from dating, it's kind of like jujitsu. You kind of learn like wrestling and jujitsu. There's parallels. Mm-hmm. There's moves that apply to both.
Yeah, setups and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So.
Especially you know if you're talking to someone, you could like set someone with words. And before I knew this about a couple years ago, I didn't know shit, and then now you're out there, and you're just like, oh my God, I can set up a joke for this later.
Yeah, see, it's like you said, at least you get something out of it, even if it's going down. You know, it's
my God.
So, what do you see like with your comedy in the future? You're trying to maybe like obviously with you know your life and work and stuff, are you going to try to like pursue it more? You know, trying to get.
I'm pursuing it more until it sprouts into something.
Yeah.
What I wouldn't mind is opening up a comedy club in Detroit one day. Mm-hmm.
I wish there was, because there's not that many, you know, and you got to be going. There's a lot of travel in between. You know what I mean? And that's like what I wish there was kind of like more of a mecca of just like, where like in New York, you can bounce around. And I mean, this is New York we're talking about, but. If like even Detroit had it where you could just be going downtown and hit up like a couple different places, man, you know, that'd be so cool. So.
Usually I can go up once a night. If I can go up, I've never gone up twice in one night, which I would love to. Mm-hmm. I would love to because after you go up on stage the first time, you know, you're like, fuck, I missed this.
Yeah.
I missed that. I should have done that.
Then you have to wait next week or something
or
a day
or two.
And then you're like kind of going back to square one.
Yeah.
If you did that in the same night, you'd be like, all right. This is going to be fucking different.
Yeah, yeah. I wouldn't mind opening up like a small just for comics to go work out, maybe bring in some access of headlines.
Yeah, yeah.
I do know one of the best comedy shows I've been to in a while is the Punchline up in Southfield.
Okay, I didn't know that place.
Oh, my God. It's right up in Northwestern.
All
right. It's not too far from Farmington Hills, you know, like where I stay at. So like literally over there. I saw like 4 or 5 guys and it was just killing left and right. Like I was laughing so hard I got tired afterwards.
that's a good night then. So that's awesome.
Yeah. So and I'm at the level of be like, I could go up, mm-hmm. but would I do good?
Yeah. That's the thing, you know. It's like, do you want to do it or, you know, but, you know, that's how you get better. It's just like, you know, with competing and going to class and all that stuff, you know, it's all the same stuff.
I want to tell a lot of jokes about the fight MMA world, but I don't think a lot of the general public would understand or laugh at it.
Yeah, you'd have to do that kind of differently.
Like,
but
I can tell a self-deprecating joke about me losing a fight.
Yeah.
That would do it, but I can't tell a joke about, hey, I beat this guy's ass by TKO leg kicks, right? I can't say that.
People would probably not get that.
Or like, people may think you're a sadistic psycho if you say this. Man, I remember threw a haymaker and he fell all funny.
Yeah. Yeah, they would probably just thinking you're just doing some bar fight and not, no, this was an actual, you know, competing fight, you know, so.
And when I go up on stage and it'll be like in the most hipstery areas, like I went up in Ferndale one time and just, okay, now comedians are not generally muscular. They're generally kind of like dad bod, out of shape, or like extremely very short, right? Yeah. So when someone, I didn't realize, but when you film yourself, when you're up on stage, you're bigger than what you actually were.
Yeah.
Well, I'm an okay sized motherfucker up on stage. And then when I'm up on stage and I'm yelling at somebody, I didn't realize that it makes them feel scared.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, you're talking to them. So yeah. if you're being intense and yelling, I mean, they're going to be feeling like they're getting yelled at. So, but you know, people like that, you know, there's an audience for that.
Oh
so.
Yeah. Up in Ferndale, I bombed so bad. People walked out of the room.
Ooh, shit.
That, you know, that's worse than bombing. No one laughing as people walking out. And I was just like, well, this is like getting go-go plotted.
Exactly. Yeah. Your face is just on the mat. Just, mm-hmm. Oh fuck. Yeah.
So I'm like, okay. I have to apply to this. You know, but it's really insane. So, like, my material is like fucking dirty, cutthroat. Like,
I could not see you as a clean comic.
Yeah, so. No, borderline misogynistic. I actually am not allowed anymore at the – well, I don't know if the ban got lifted or if the lady still works there. But February 2017, I am not allowed in the bar up in the Alpine Ski Resort.
All right. Why is that?
Why? Well, I was there one time. I went on openmics.org to find an open mic, which is apparently you don't go. You go to the Michigan Commerce Network on the Facebook page, and you can go through that motherfucker. Well, I'm like, all right, I don't want to do this. So right now, you remember Pete?
Okay.
Sweaty Pete?
Yeah. Oh, shit, yeah. Bald guy, right? Yeah.
So he's hanging out with one of my friends at the time, and my friend I'm hanging out with at the time is like, Yo, I'm going to go up on stage. It's like, yo, I'm going to go up on stage. I'm like, you shouldn't do it. I'm like, okay. But they told me my show has to be clean. She's like, you should really not do it. I'm like, I'm going to do it anyway. So I'm writing. I'm like literally going over like my notebook, like last minute stuff because, you know, I'm a beginner at that point. I bring a notebook everywhere.
Yeah.
And this dude's playing a banjo before women, children, grandparents, everyone. Everyone is there sitting laughing. Then I tell a couple jokes, and I'm bombing. I got to start heckled by a 12 and a 14-year-old.
Oof.
12 and a 14-year-old. And I remember and I was just like, you know what? And one of my favorite comics of all time, Patrice O'Neill, his voice went into my head and says, motherfucker, if you're in a bomb – take that plane and crash into the ground yourself.
Yeah, go down
swinging. Bomb harder.
Yeah.
So I just got up the mic and I said, you know what? I'd be acting that way too if I just got done sucking my mama's titty a couple months ago. The mother got up. She also had, I think she was eating a little soup or whatnot. And I said, and immediately before she said anything, I'm like, you better shut the fuck up before you tell your husband you can suck off the ski instructor in the bathroom. And then I told – and I said, that ain't lotion on your chin, bitch.
Oh, shit.
So then I told the two dirtiest jokes I had.
Yeah.
Which is the black dildo assault joke.
Okay. It sounds pretty dirty.
And then the biggest dick I've ever seen joke. And the punch – and they cut my mic off throughout the biggest dick I've ever seen joke. And the punchline is, his dick was so big it literally let me know that I was in Africa.
Oh, man. Those kids are just probably – their ears are bleeding.
And then, you know, I said, come a couple times, and they're like, mommy, what's that word? Like, it's just kids going on. And I'm not gonna lie, I felt like I killed, but people, when I was talking, people were horrified. Like,
yeah.
And I'm just thinking, I love that. I love when half the crowd's horrified. I think I had a couple people laughing, but then all of a sudden, I went to go walk out. And it was, you know, those couple of those bouncers, you know, if my chest is over my stomach, I'm not fat.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So they start walking me out, and I said, sir, Please don't touch me. I'll walk out on my own. So this is when this, you know, the salt rocks on the ground and whatnot. So he pushes me. So I do like the front somersault, you know, like doing jujitsu. All my papers on the floor and whatnot. I said, sir, please don't fucking touch me. Yeah. I would seriously advise. So then he throws a big punch. I just double leg, take him down on the ground. And then something in my head said, hump him. So I humped him a couple times. I looked him in the eye and I said, does this mean I have your job now?
Yeah.
Clarkston PD shows up.
Oh, fuck. Story excellent.
Yeah. He puts us both in cuffs. I tell him what happened. He laughs, brings his partner over. I say the same thing what happened. They said they put me on cuffs and I walked away. A couple weeks later, I had a friend who snowboards up there. He says, so I didn't notice. One of the bouncers took a picture of me. He said, don't allow this man in. And apparently there's a picture of me like this. breathing in with my weird face all fucked up. And I was like, damn, they couldn't have picked a better picture.
Yeah, exactly. Like you on stage at least. Come on.
Yeah, no, this was outside. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
In the scruff, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, if that's not combining comedy and MMA, I don't know what is. So
I got to turn. I should turn onto a bit.
Like, yeah.
That's just a good story. That's just a nutty story.
Yeah. And that's like another thing you can do with comedy too that I know a lot of comedians like to do is, you know, storytelling. So you have that as well, you know, thinking of funny fucking stories. And I'm sure you have thousands of them in so many different situations. So. But we're going to kind of wrap this up here. But I just wanted to kind of ask as a last question, what would you, in your opinion, what advice would you give to somebody maybe looking into getting into MMA or comedy?
Comedy?
Yeah.
Actually, it goes comedy, MMA.
Okay.
Don't think, just do it.
All right.
Now, if you're doing comedy specifically, just start writing. Write one joke every day. Whether it be good or bad, write one joke every day. And then when it comes to MMA, you better not have a girlfriend.
Yeah, that probably helps a lot.
just let it if you're truly talented, and let's say this individual is still a freshman in high school, I'm like, all right. Do wrestling, shoot for the stars, you land on the moon. It ain't that bad.
Yeah, yeah. Just got to put in that work, you know?
Yeah.
So, well, that's awesome, man. That's some really good advice, you know, to people out there and all that. And, you know, I love both, obviously, MMA and comedy. So I really do understand, like, just doing both of them, just trying it, you know, is probably the biggest thing, too. So, but where can people reach at, you know, put out your handles?
I am on Facebook. I have at Fabio D'Agostino. I also have my old fight page, fan page, which is not really that active.
But you still have it.
Yes. But you can find me on Instagram at ItalyFabio13.
All right.
Yeah.
You do have one of the best fight names, too. I don't know if you ever use it.
I fucking hate it.
Fabio.
I can't go up on stage and be like, hey, it's Fabio D'Agostino coming up to the stage.
I blame Tommy for that because he always like calling you it. So
yeah.
But yeah, you know, thanks for doing this, Fabio. And, you know, I wish you best of luck with all your endeavors. And yeah, man, this has been great. Let's do this again sometime.
Fuck yeah.
All right. Man, we're out.